1 Kings chapter 19. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said unto him, "Go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha the son of Shaphat shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room." A direct command by God in 1 Kings chapter 19 verse 16. "And Elisha shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass, him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees of which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him." So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah. Notice, he passed by him and cast his mantle, M-A-N-T-L-E, cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee." And he said unto him, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. More truth in these verses than I have time to share in this particular service. But I want to call to your attention tonight four mantles of opportunity. Four mantles of opportunity. If you read the story very closely, you could find in the life of Elisha there was probably more than four, but I believe the four pinpoint moments in his life, defining moments that made a difference in this man's life. And you know, God's working in all of our lives. How many know that God's at work in each of our lives? I said God is at work in each of our lives. And I believe with all of my heart that these are the days when the mantles of opportunity are coming in a very special way. First of all, there was the mantle of the call. In today's evangelical New Testament setting, we could say it was the call to follow. It was Elisha that heard the voice of a man by the name of Elijah. How did he hear the voice? There was a mantle that was placed upon him, and he was called to follow. Every believer is called to follow. We're not called just to have a easing of our conscience or just called for things to be better in our life. There's the call to follow. That's what altar calls are all about. I've had a memorial service this week. I have them quite often because over the years, this church has probably touched just about every church in the Metroplex in one way or another. But as I was standing there again in a memorial service, they reminded us of the days in the early post office building when an entire family came to Jesus. Many years later, here we are in a memorial service ministering to that family who at one time answered the call to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Over and over again, we saw young people coming in from bondages and lifestyles of slavery to sin, and saw the power of God touch their lives because they answered the call to follow. One young man I can never forget. In fact, he calls from time to time. Haven't seen him in some time. Came in his teens, had hitchhiked from Texas to California numerous times, high, on drugs. Didn't own a toothbrush for 2 or 3 years of his life. You say, how can people live like that? Well, how could the prodigal son live in a hog pen being a good Jew? Sin will make you do some strange things. You'll do things you thought you'd never do. You'll say things you thought you'd never say. You'll associate with people you thought you'd never associate with. But thank God he came in one night and the power of God changed that young man's life. He prayed that simple prayer that has been so blasphemed by those of the news media today who make fun of any form of religion. But he prayed that prayer, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And thank God the drug habit was broken and the alcohol habit was broken. And it had taken its toll upon his mind because he had also dealt with acid and I don't know what all he had been into. But he'd come to the church on a daily basis, as did several others. They'd sit on the floor with a legal pad and started at Genesis 1 and determined they were going to write out the Bible verse by verse. I don't know how far that they were able to do that, but I know one thing. I saw God give young people their minds back. I saw young people that could not put two coherent sentences together give their life to Jesus Christ, and God supernaturally, totally changed their life. We do serve an awesome God. Well, I don't know what the shape of Elisha's life was when Elijah found him. All I know is that God said, go to Elisha, told him exactly the name of his family and his family members, go to Elisha and anoint him. Anoint him. Place that mantle upon him. And the Bible said that Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him, and he left the oxen. Now the second anointing that I would like to call your attention, the anointing of opportunity, is the call of discipleship. Many people answer the altar call. Many people pray a prayer that brings change to their life. But just as you have dug in over the years to do, to be, to think, whatever you are and wherever you are, you must systematically start reading the Word, and through the Word and prayer and fellowship with the Lord, let God begin to reprogram that computer called your mind. There was the call of discipleship. Immediately, he wanted to go back and to mix a compromise of what he had been called to do and where he had been called to go with going home and getting back into the soulish realm of the things that had his life in bondage. I'm not saying that home is bad. I'm not saying that parents are bad. But with him, he wanted to go back. And the prophet of God was like many of us. He said, well, if there's no way to talk you out of it, do what you have to do. But somewhere in this going back, he didn't stay there because the Bible said he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. So we see there's the call to follow, but there's the call, the opportunity call of discipling. He said, let me go back, let me go back. Let me say to anyone in this audience tonight, there is nothing to go back to. There is nothing to go back to. There is no way to go but to go forward. And I say it so often, the only way out is up, not back. There is death in the pot of the past. There is death in returning to what you used to do and what you used to say. The devil's biggest lie to teenagers, to those in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, whatever the age may be, is that you are smart enough and strong enough to play with sin and to quit anytime you want to, but it's a lie from the pits of hell. Let me go back. Oh, I don't want to go back. I do not want to go back. I want to go forward in the name of Jesus. I said, I want to go forward in the name of Jesus. There is nothing to go back to. There was the call to follow. Then there was the call of discipleship to follow him. And he wanted to go back. And he did go back, but something just wasn't the same. And so he did make the right decision, even though he made that brief return. He buried and burned and left the past behind him. And let me say this to anyone in this room tonight. You know, there's people that have served God for years and they go back and start fooling around with somebody. It doesn't make any difference whether it's male, female, or who it is. They go back and get all caught up in that soulish realm and the same old chit-chat, the same habits, and start compromising. And before long, they're back in the same pit that God delivered them out of. He whom the Son hath made free is free indeed. When God delivers you out of the pit, stay out of the pit. Don't go back to the pit. Don't wallow in the hog pen. Don't go back to the things that at one time brought your life into slavery. Well, I'm not staying a long time on this message tonight, but also there came the call of opportunity. You remember in following Elijah? The day came when Elijah did everything in the world to try to get him to stay behind. But you know, he said over here in 2 Kings 2, verse 9, it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And Elijah said, you've asked a hard thing. It's not hard for God to give you more of God. It's hard for you to know what to do with it when he does give it. He said, thou hast asked me a hard thing. There's a price tag to being used by God. There is a price tag. There's the price tag of loneliness sometimes. There's the price tag of leaving friends behind. There's the price tag of Satan's lie, you're the only one. And I've seen people who are the only one in their family that have their head on straight. It's hard to keep your head on straight when your whole family's whacked out. And I see some people just running back and running back, and it's okay to witness, it's okay to pick them up, but you don't go back and wallow in your family's soulish realm zero stuff. You don't go back to that person that almost cost you your life when you were out together one night on the town. There's nothing to go back to. There is nothing to go back to. And in the course of things, he said, I want a double portion. He said, okay, that's not impossible, but you've asked a hard thing. There's a price tag to the miracle working power of God. There's a price tag to God using you in a greater way. Everybody wants to be used by God in a greater way, but everyone's not willing to pay the price. And I'm not just talking about the ministry. I'm talking about the laity. God knows if there was ever a time we needed a born again, full of the Holy Ghost, on fire for God laity, businessmen, businesswomen, entrepreneurs, those in the professional walk of life and those that do whatever. If there was ever a time we need a church on fire, we need the church on fire today. It's not just the preacher that needs to be on fire. We all need to be on fire. It's a call of opportunity. He said, you've asked me a hard thing. And here in 2 Kings, the second chapter, You've asked me a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. The Bible said they went on. They went on. And you know, as you look at this man of God, it looked like he did everything in the world to try to discourage him. Those verses that preceded that. Well, he said, I've got to go to Jericho. Why don't you just stay here in Motel 8 and just wait until I get back? No, he said, I'm going with you. And then he went on, well, I'm going to Jordan. And then I'm going to all of these places. And he said, no, I'm going with you. You know, it's easy to get all sentimental in a service and say, oh, I'm going to follow Jesus all the way. But we get away and the emotion of that moment subsides, and then we're back to the same old stuff that sometimes has dominated our life. He said, you see what he was saying here was, you've got to follow me. First of all, he said, you've put your faith on the line. Number two, you've got to follow me, and you've got to keep your eyes open. You've got to see. Put your faith on the line, follow me, and keep your eyes open. Keep your eyes open. Keep your eyes open. It shall be so. And if not, then it shall not be so. And it came to pass as they still went on. Now here is exactly where a lot of people miss it. See, there was the school of the prophets, sons of the prophets. And I'm telling you, they were one discouraging bunch. Because this world system, if we've seen anything during this political intense time, this world system hates the insides of Jesus Christ, God Almighty, and religion, and the Bible. We can be lapdogs for Harry Potter, but don't you dare be a lapdog for Jesus. We can get involved in the satanic. We can get involved in the demonic. We can get involved in all of the dark side of this world. But you're a fanatic if you claim the name of the Lord. And lo, God help any candidate that claims that he knows God and that he prays to God and that God tells him anything. And yet you go to the other side, the dark side, that's just as much a religion. It's a false religion. It's a diabolical religion. It's from the pits of hell. But that Harry Potter stuff is just as much a demonic religion as Christianity is a Jesus experience and way of life. Amen. So we celebrate Halloween. And we do all, what I mean, you know, we get caught up in that. But don't get carried away with Jesus. Well, you know, there were the sons of the prophet. And man, I mean, they just weren't real encouraging on this situation. The call of opportunity. The call of opportunity. See, there was the call to follow. There was the call of discipleship. And then he followed the prophet of God and learned so much. I know I was in that same position for a number of years and I learned so much. Oh, if there's anything I look back and realize, it's how little I really did know when I thought I knew so much. And then one day, I was able to put into practice all the great wisdom I thought I'd acquired through the years and find out exactly what it was all about. But there is that call of opportunity. He said, okay, you can have the double portion if you've asked for it, believed for it, follow me, and keep your eyes on me. Be obedient. Well, I thought I'd just go through a prayer line, somebody lay hands on me, and that's just all I'd have to. No, you missed the point. Thank God for prayer lines. Thank God for laying on of hands. But I'm telling you, there's the call of opportunity. The call of opportunity will take you through some deserts. It will take you through the valley of the shadow of death. It will take you through people turning their back on you. I remember when I was in Bible college, a man that I loved with all of my heart, we were buddies, and all of that, and he had to leave school because of financial reasons. And man, it wasn't 2 months until a woman of the world in the guise of, I need your help. You're the only one that can help me. Yeah. And I mean, he got pulled into that thing. And he was no longer in the ministry, has never been in full-time ministry since then. Never has since then. When I got that letter in my mailbox, I thought, oh dear God, I thought he was stronger, wiser, had a level of faith that was far beyond my level of faith. But something happened. You see, he let a Delilah of the world suck him under, pull him under, lead him in another pathway. You know, isn't it amazing? There's not an army that ever marched that could pull Samson down except sex and a woman. And you can reverse that thing from woman to man. You can reverse that. There was, you know, I mean, he just, you know, just tie him up. He just pick up, put the gates of the city on his shoulder. It was a supernatural power. He didn't work out at the gym. It was a supernatural anointing of God. And the thing that I hear so often, well, I'm not doing right, but, you know, I just see such wonderful things happening. Well, there's such a word called grace. And God works with us and loves us and helps us. It's not a message of condemnation. But see, he said, okay, you want a double portion. You want more of God. There's a price tag to it. Walk on the showroom. Look at that shiny new piece of steel. Say, man, I'd love to have it. And the salesman would say, write out the check and it's yours. You can drive right out that driveway. It will be your personal very own car payment. There's a price tag that is associated with things in this life. See, a beautiful home, if you can qualify, or someone thinks you qualify, you can do exceedingly abundantly above all you thought you could ever do. But then the reality sets in, there's payments involved. The call of opportunity. Let me just say this tonight. We need some people that not only have heard the call of opportunity to follow, and I use the word opportunity because it's up to us what we do with it. Every altar call is a time of opportunity. If no one comes to the altar, it was still an altar call of opportunity. It was an opportunity for God to change their life. There's the call of discipleship. After you come to the Lord, you need to get into the Word and let the Word get into you and grow in grace in the things of God and learn how to say yes to God and no to the devil. And then there comes the day, the call of opportunity of the greater power of God. And he said, if you see me when I'm taken away, you've asked for it, you've believed for it, if you follow me, if you see me when I'm taken away, it's going to happen. But there's a final call. It's the call of opportunity to put the power of God into operation. Back in that day, they had a mantle. And that mantle that was with the prophet of God was a mantle that saw widows fed. A mantle that saw the dead literally raised from the dead. It was a mantle that turned sickness into health. It was a mantle that when there was hopelessness on every hand, that mantle was over the shoulders of a man of God who said, I have the answer. Now, church, here's where we are tonight. We've heard the call to follow. We've heard the call of discipleship, growing in grace and growing in the things of God. We've heard the call of opportunity. Behold, I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy. From Luke, it said, behold, I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy. I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy. And then, of course, Acts 1:8, behold, ye shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Power. But you know what it all comes down to? There's the call to follow. There's the call of discipleship. There's the call of opportunity that opens the door that we can have more of God. But it all comes down to the call of walking in power. I said it all comes down to the call of walking in power. Brother Nichols, I believe in that mantle. I believe in that mantle over my shoulder. Oh, Brother Nichols, I believe in the mantle of deliverance. I believe in the mantle of healing. I believe in the mantle that God supplies all my need. I believe in the mantle that God can do what he did for Charlie Pryor. He can break habits and destructive habits in people's lives. And then we sit down and we worry and we fret. And we tell people, you'll just never believe what the devil is doing in my life. You'll just never believe what the devil said to me today. You just don't understand what the evil one is bringing in my life. Remember, there's the call of opportunity to follow him. There's the call of discipleship to learn and to grow. And there's enough knowledge of God in this room tonight to blow the gates off of hell. And then there's the call of opportunity to receive more of God. A double portion is what Elisha requested. And Elijah said, it's not impossible. You've just asked a hard thing. There's a price tag that is associated with that. I've known of men that too early, too quick, received too much. And the power was more than they could handle. And literally, they didn't know what to do with the power they had. It's like giving a 13-year-old a Corvette automobile and saying, have fun. Here's a full tank of gas. There are Japanese bikes that they have a 90-day shelf life on the life of those that buy them. Maybe 4 months. Because you buy that particular kind of a bike, you won't be for long. Because it's hard to ride that bike without seeing how fast it'll go. And it'll go faster than you've got brains to handle it. Or than your balance can handle that. And I have known those that prematurely received things that they were not ready for. You know, it's better the things of God come a little bit slower, but they come, and when they come, they're there. Slow is not bad. Taking some time is not all bad. The name of the game is knowing what to do when the power is there. But oh, thank God, thank God, thank God. There's the call of putting the power of God into operation. You see, the mantle floated down from above, and he picked up the mantle of Elijah. He could have made another denomination out of the mantle of Elijah. It could have been the denomination or of the mantle of Elijah. Come and see the mantle of Elijah. You've never seen a mantle like this. This is the original mantle that floated down out of heaven, and I caught it. And you could be a zero for God. I'm telling you, catching the mantle is not what it's all about. It's using the mantle. It's walking in the power. It's standing in the power and the anointing of God's Holy Spirit. That when the enemy comes in like a flood, you take the mantle off your shoulder and you smite the waters and say, where is the Lord God of Elijah? You got to use the mantle. You've got to use the word. Got to use the promise. You know, it's possible to memorize scripture, not use the scripture, or not have faith in that scripture. You've got to combine the two. You have not because you ask not. A lot of times you ask not because you don't know. But when you know and you have, then in faith believing, no matter what the enemy comes in, just see yourself with that, praise God, that mantle. See yourself with that mantle of the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, behold, I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. But it's not going to work until you use it. You've got to use the mantle. Got to use the mantle. Enemy's coming against your mind. You're on the job, and the enemy says you're not saved. The enemy says you've got to do something wrong. The enemy says you've got to drink something wrong. The enemy says you've got to go have intimacy with somebody the whole thing is wrong. You just take that mantle off your shoulder and say, no, in the name of Jesus. No, in the name of Jesus. No, in the name of Jesus. You've got to use the mantle. You've got to use the mantle. The mantle is no good if you don't use it. Your Bible is no good if you don't use it. The scriptures are no good unless you use them. There's the call to follow, the call to discipleship, the call of the possibility of more power, unlimited power, in fact, exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. But in the final analysis, it floats down from heaven, and he picks it up, but he can't go the rest of his life saying, look what I have, look what I have. Come to church and see what I have. When the power of God is within you, use that power against the power of the enemy. Use that power against all the craziness of Satan. Use that mantle. Use it. Use it. You have power. You have power. Doesn't make any difference what anybody else does, what your friends do. You have the power of God. And God's saying, you use what I've given to you and watch it work. Watch it work. Oh, watch it work. When the enemy comes in, thank God, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift a standard against him. But he's doing it through your hand. He could have walked up to those waters and said, you know, I've been such a faithful servant. Oh, I've been on the staff for so long. Oh, I've poured water over the hands of Elijah. You don't know what I've been through as a servant. Oh, I've served and no one appreciated me. I've served and no one loved me. I've served and people have criticized me. And man, I wish there's some way I could get across this water. You'd think that God would just part these waters because I've been such a good servant. It doesn't work that way. It's all faith. You've got to use your faith and I've got to use my faith. That water's not going to part because my name is Bob Nichols. That water's going to part because you take that mantle that God has given you, the mantle of the power of the Holy Spirit of God, and you say, where is the Lord God of Elijah? You smite those waters and watch those waters part. You've got to use it or lose it. You've got to use it or lose it. You've got to use it or lose it. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, during this politically volatile time, I've stopped more conversations, my own included, and said, that's enough of that. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Let's don't talk about how bad it is. In the name of Jesus, righteousness shall prevail. Righteousness shall prevail. Righteousness shall prevail. Righteousness shall prevail. In the name of Jesus. We can get mad. We can get frustrated. But I tell you, there's a man. Listen, there. You say, well, I don't see it, but it's there. What I'm talking about is inside of you. I mean, there's a mantle in your hands tonight. There's a mantle in every one of your hands. There's a mantle. You say, but I failed God. There's still a mantle in your hands. Oh, he's only a prayer of faith away. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. But you say, I've sinned and I knew better and I didn't do what. Okay. We've all been there. I said something I shouldn't have said. We've all been there. I missed it. I didn't do something that I should have done or, vice versa. But oh, tonight in the name of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Break out of that valley of condemnation. Break out of that world of what should have been, ought to have been, could have been, might have been. And say in the name of Jesus, I take the mantle. I take the mantle. Say what you want to say, Satan, but I'm not going to bow before your shrine of compromise. I'm not going to bow before your shrine of sickness. I'm not going to bow before your shrine of not enough financially. I'm not going to bow before your shrine of going back to the mess that I was in. I've come out and I'm going to stay out in the name of Jesus. Smite the waters. Watch God bring you out and watch God bring you through. There's a mantle inside of you. There's a mantle in your spirit. There's a mantle inside of you. Man, we've all been through things that could have sunk our boat. The boat was now full of water. Jesus didn't still the storm because of the faith of the disciples. When it was all over, he said, you still have fear and you need to deal with it. But I'm telling you, when fear comes in to usurp authority over your life, fear is the worst enemy of faith that Satan ever trotted out. In the name of Jesus, when fear comes, I like this one. Someone gave me a little plaque that said, when fear knocks on the door, send faith to answer and fear will disappear. Send faith to answer the door. Oh, do you see that mantle in your hand? Do you see that? I wish you had a mantle in your hand that you could see, but you don't. But I'm telling you, there's a mantle in your hand. There's a mantle in your hand. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's more than coming to church. It's more than just praising God. It's more than just showing up for work. It's more than just being faithful over a period of time. That's all it. But there's a mantle in your hands. You're not helpless. You're not hopeless. You're not without options. You're not without answers. There's an answer to every situation. I said there's an answer to every situation. There's an answer to every situation. I'm telling you, when the enemy comes in, just get that mantle out. There's a mantle. You have 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 a mantle. It's inside of you. You have a mantle. Just as surely as I'm holding this cloth in my hand tonight, there's a mantle inside of you. And I'm telling you, when you make up your mind that I'm going to get the mantle off the mantle. You know, we've got it all framed up and We remember 1993. I had the mantle in 93, or I had the mantle in 96. Get it off the wall. Get it off the trophy chest. Get it in your hands. Get it in your heart. Praise God. You say, don't you think we got it? Some of you got it. Many of you got it. But the rest of you, I'm working on you. Praise God. I'm telling you, there's something in your heart and there's something in your hand. And it's more powerful than all the power of the enemy. But the word's not going to help you until you put the word to work. The scriptures are not going to help you until you put the scriptures to work. But I tried. Keep on trusting. Keep on trusting. I said, keep on trusting. I trust in the Lord with all my heart. I lean not to my own understanding. In all of my ways I acknowledge Him, and He shall direct my paths. I've lived like this for years. Do I always live it perfectly? No, I don't. But I'm telling you, there's a 90% bracket that I've come into. Praise God. And just as surely as revelations come stronger over 30,000 feet in the air, I've been flying 37,000 feet and 41,000 feet and 42,000 feet. Praise God. It's been a year ago I got up to 45,000 feet. And I'm telling you, there's an anointing of God that is stirring in each of our hearts tonight. It's not a works mill. It's not because you're perfect. It's not because you've done everything right. It's not because my name is what my name is or your name is what your name is. It's because we have faith in the name of Jesus. Instead of just saying, oh, I love my mantle. I love my mantle. All my family has handled the mantle. Oh, we have it framed. We have it in the trophy case. Get it off the mantle. Get it off the trophy case. Oh, get that mantle of faith in your heart. Deal with your thoughts. Deal with your heart. Deal with your body. Deal with the enemy when he comes in like a flood. Deal. Smite those waters. Don't just walk around saying, I'd give anything if those waters would part. Bless God, get the mantle out and start talking to the waters of your life. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Where is the Lord God of Elijah? I'll tell you, I love this man of God right here. He stood with me for 38, 36 years. I couldn't tell you the impossible times we faced over these years. I mean, I didn't think it was. I mean, I knew it was, but I was on a higher level. Praise God. I was doing what God called me to do. And I mean, when people would walk out and say, you crazy, you've lost your mind, we resign, we're out of here. This man, after it was all said and done, said, well, Pastor, God's brought us through before, and God's going to bring us through again. Man, that sounded like a word from the throne of grace. Hallelujah. God's done it before. God can do it again. And I'm saying the same thing to you today. God's done it before. God can do it again. God's done it before, and God can do it again. God's no respecter of families, no respecter of people, no respecter. And you may have failed God 10 million times, but thank God the blood of Jesus Christ is bigger than all your failures. I said the blood of Jesus Christ is bigger than all your failures. The blood of Jesus is greater than all your failures. Talking to someone that drives an hour and a half to get here on Sunday, they said the reason we come to this church on Sunday is because every time we come, we receive faith, hope, and love. Every time we come, we hear the gospel of how to, not ought to. Every time we come, no matter what we're facing in our lives, we hear a word that will bring us through and a word that will bring us out. 1 hour and a half, one way. That's 3 hours round trip. Praise God. To come because they hear something that makes a difference in their life. Now that's what turns a preacher on. I'd do whatever I had to do. I'd commute by airplane if I had to go get me some faith. If I couldn't find it, I'd go where it was. I'd find somebody that could help me come through the storm. I'd find somebody that had the answers. Thank God for the call. When I said yes to Jesus, thank God for the call to discipleship when I got into the Word of God and started getting me some study helps and some concordances and, you know, getting some of those grand study helps that help you to start putting things together and start going through the basic Bible doctrines and, you know, just see what it was all about. And then I read one day, oh, thank God that He promised even before Pentecost, behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. And then in Acts 1:8, he said, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. thank God I read that. And I said, I believe that. And then I just went a little further and I read that there was a sound as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They were cloven tongues like as a fire. And I know we live in a day of methods. We're raising managers instead of ministers. Really, I'm telling you, it's scary. We're raising managers instead of ministers, anointed ministers. But you still can't get around the fact that on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost knew where 3,000 people were that needed to be born again. You explain that one to me. No television. No, I believe in television. No radio. I believe in radio. No cassette, DVD. All the... Thank God for every one of them. But I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost knows where people are. And I believe with all of my heart, yes, there are methods, and yes, there are things we do and things we do in-house. But, oh, church, put your faith on the line tonight. God knows where the fish are. I said, God knows where the fish are. There's nothing wrong with the boat. There's nothing wrong with the fish. There's nothing wrong with the bait. Thank God, all we need is the power of the Holy Ghost. The water's still there, the boat's still there, the fish are still there, and the net is still there, and we're going after them. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's time to call them in the name of Jesus. 3,000, 4,000, 5,000.